people want to make it work. They want to make it work together. And I will protect their rights and the rights of everybody.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
What the city should be doing are those things that are absolutely critical, where we can do it better than the private side.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Bill Rock, thanks for the intro, and yes, indeed, a good Friday morning to you all, even it's after 8 o'clock. Mr. Mayor, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. A little bit of rain still. Record for precipitation, I have on good authority, is 40 days and 40 nights. So it will stop.
You read that in a book somewhere,
did
you?
I did read that a long time. I've been reading it for a long time, from when I was just able to read.
Yeah, there you go.
And it hasn't changed.
No,
nobody's changed. Nobody's broken the record.
Absolutely so. Let's hope we don't this time around as well.
No, but there's a little bit of flooding on some of the roads. You know, I cringe when I listen to the radio flooding on, and I wait to hopefully it's not in the city.
Well, it always seems on the FDR Drive and places like that, but that's sort of just the way it is.
Well, you know, they do fix and they keep track of where the flooding is and go back and try to figure out to keep it from happening again. But there are just some places where it is, the roads were originally built not in the best ways. It's hard to drain, lots of trees for leaves that plug it up, or a corner where people tend to slip, and so you have small fender benders, and that screws up the traffic.
There is one such place, and not to waste any more time on this, but there is one such place on the Long Island Expressway in Flushing Meadows, right where it crosses in front of the New York State Pavilion, which over the course of the last 40 years of my commuting in and out of New York City, they have fixed, the thing continues to sink all the time, and they just keep fixing it and fixing it. I'm not making a complaint. It's just the way life is.
You can make a complaint. Call 311, and our traffic commissioner will certainly look at it.
All right. Yeah. Let's get into some...
Or take the subway, although you don't have a subway.
Unfortunately, no.
But if we had some ways to get a capital budget for the MTA, perhaps we could.
Well, that leads in perfectly to my...
I was setting you up, but that's happy to do
it. My list of questions here this morning. Obviously, we'll start, as we unfortunately almost always do, with the budgetary issues, which only seem to get worse as you've been predicting.
Economy is slowing down. We've been talking about this. People are tired of hearing it. Me too. But each day, if you read the paper, yesterday, one bank was laying off 30,000 people.
Bank of America.
I mean, just business nationwide, worldwide, is slowing dramatically. And tax revenues follow that. I saw a story in the news yesterday. California, the state, has a $42 billion deficit over the next 19 months. That's to the middle of 2010.
And your friend Governor Schwarzenegger is looking for the federal government, as our own governor, to help out.
Everybody's looking to the federal government. If you had to, you can always hope that they'll come through and bail us all out. I think a better financial plan, a more conservative, more realistic financial plan, is to assume that we're going to have to do it on our own. And if it turns out in the end we don't have to do it all on our own, that's great. But you can't sit here and wait for God will provide. God helps those who help themselves, and sometimes doesn't even do that. And so,
what worries you more, that the federal government does step in on those sort of things, whether it's California or New York, or that they don't? Because there's problems with both.
You can make the case that if the federal government bails you out, there is no reason for anybody to ever be prudent again. It is also true, at the same time, that some of these things are beyond the control of anybody. For example, right now, to argue that the government should cut back services is hard to do. There are a lot of people that really need help through no fault of their own. You can argue that we shouldn't be here, that they should have made different decisions in the Fed and the Treasury and the economy and every years ago. But the bottom line is, if somebody today needs help, I think we as a society have decided we're going to help that person. Now, in the case of the city, I did an event yesterday. We have advisory. We can't pay anybody's mortgage, but if you get in trouble with your mortgage, we have some services where we can give you counseling. If you're way behind in your credit cards, if you lose your job, where do you go and what kind of training, and try to match you with small businesses, and there are some still hiring. There's still people. You know, it's easy to think everybody's lost their home. That's not true. It's easy to think that everybody's unemployed. That's not true. It's easy to think that nobody's investing in the future. That's not true either. But the trouble is that it is true, I think, that state legislatures, and you can make the case for city and us as well, right here in New York City, we have for many years ramped up our expenses and never assumed that the revenues would go down. And if you and I have been talking for 7 years now, and as you know, I have always said we got to salt money away. This can't go on forever. Now, somebody would say I was complaining about the end 2 years earlier. Yeah, but that's when you got to put money away. The trouble is in government. Everybody wants services. The workers want more money. You want to get paid more. I want to get paid more. Everybody does. That's natural. The public wants more places where they can go and more services that are available there and better hours and that sort of thing. And in good times, they say, why can't you afford it? And you say, well, you got to hold money back for the bad times. That's a very hard political lift. And we did it. We did an amazing amount of prepaying interest for the next couple of years, of salting away money, of trying to fund an enormous liability that we have in health care for our workers. But you don't plan for anything quite as cataclysmic. And even if you do, nobody's going to let you do it. So I didn't certainly foresee anything this dramatic. I did want to salt away more than we were able to. But even if everybody had gone along with me, you wouldn't have been protected. And we have, every day, I look at our tax revenues coming in. Actually, you get a snapshot once a month, but you can just go out and look at the economy. You don't have to wait for the tax revenues. Just look at the business that generates them. If people are getting laid off, that's less income to the income tax. If stores are going out of business, that's going to be less sales taxes and business taxes.
Shows closing down on Broadway.
Shows closing down. Good thing you mentioned Broadway. One of the things, if you remember, we've been trying to do, and we talked about this, it was a joke with the press, our 5-borough economic diversification plan. There's something like 17 new television shows being filmed in this city. It is a record, and it generates an average television show employs something like 250 people full time. It's a very big deal for our economy. So we are doing some of those things, but you can never do enough. And it is worrisome. Each day, you've got to say, wait a second, we cannot afford to do things the way we've done before. Now, nobody wants to raise taxes, and we're talking to the city council and trying to get them to raise the property tax by 7%, which is what we'd cut it before, do it right now so we'd get the second 6 months of this fiscal year, Jan 1 through June 30th. That's roughly $600 million in revenue. And I've said, you know, nobody wants to send out the property rebate more than me, and maybe we will, but it's another $250 million dollars, $300 million. That's roughly $1 billion right there. If we were to have to send out the property tax rebate and not increase taxes today by 7%, that's another $1 billion hole. $1 billion is a lot of employees, and the employees are the people that provide services. And so,
is that the only alternative? I mean, that's the only alternative.
90% of what we do in this city is pay salaries to people who provide services. There's a capital budget, and there's interest, and there's debt service, and there's pension benefits, and all that sort of stuff. But yes, I mean, fundamentally, we have been cutting and cutting and cutting from these agencies, and there's not a lot left. So if you look at the Department of Education, which is far and away our biggest agency in this city, they have $500 million would be roughly their share of another 7% cut. Police is next. They're $250 million of that thing. Then you drop down to probably 100 or something for fire and corrections, and then the others are all smaller. But at some point, the only ways, you have two choices. You either bring in revenue or you cut services, or efficiencies in services. Those are, to some extent, euphemisms simply for fewer workers.
And
worse services. No, and we can't do that. You can't lose control of the streets. You know, people are writing editorials, we can't touch cops. We can't touch cops. We can't touch fire. We can't touch sanitation. We can't touch correction. We can't touch education. We can't touch seniors. Stop me when you get bored with all of this, because the city fundamentally, most, I think it's fair to say, virtually all the things the city does are important things for our future. And the handful of things that you don't think are important, somebody else does.
Are there any agencies that you think are more equal or less equal, depending on your point of view, than another agency?
Yes. That does not mean, however, that you can give all your resources to the most important agency. I mean, if you rank them and you say, you can start out with crime. If you don't keep the city safe, we don't have a city. We don't have a tax base. Having said that, the police commissioner's job is to be able to do it, keep the city safe with less. Why? Because we don't have unlimited resources, and it is arguably as important to keep the fire department going. If your house is burning down, you'd say, you know, hey, this is just as important as going after a bad guy in the street. And then what about my kids? My kids need an education. That's our future. Corrections. Courts dictate how much we spend, how many guards we have to have per prisoner. The only ways you are going to have fewer guards is if you let the prisoners back on the streets. You want to do that? I don't think so. Sanitation, you can lose control. But most of the sanitation department is to pick up the garbage, and you can pick it up less number of times, but it's still the same amount of garbage, so you don't save any money, and you still have to plow the streets, and go right down the list.
Yeah, no, it's
that doesn't mean we can't make priorities, and I will make, that's my job, and to go fight the battle and get it done and stand there and let people yell at you. But nevertheless, the answer to your question is there are some more than others, but that doesn't mean that they aren't going to have to find ways to do more with less as well.
All right. What a problem to have to have. When is the date where a decision on the rebates and the 7% tax increase, when does that have to be taken?
It's before the courts. The courts postponed the hearing for a week, roughly. Our reading of the law is that if we have to do something, we don't have to do it before June 30th. And there is an advantage to having the money in the meantime, because you just don't know how bad things are going to get. And even if we all agree we should do this, and I'd love to do it, it's a popular thing. Nobody wants to say exactly. No. Come on. But you have to be prudent as well. And what worries me is I don't know what the state's going to do. The state budget deficit was forecast to be something like $15 billion. That was a couple of months ago. I would bet anything, or 25 cents, that the state budget's got to be $2 or $3 billion worse than it was 2 or 3 months ago, because I can look at our tax revenues, and their revenues go down right with ours. It's on the same form, even. So, you know, if our sales tax revenue goes down, theirs is going down exactly the same percentage. And for them to balance a budget deficit that big, they are going to have to make expense reductions. They do some things themselves. They pay for their own state police, for example. But they also redistribute money to education, Medicaid, and a whole bunch of other things. And if they're going to cut back on the amount they send out to the 62 counties, we're five of those, and we're the biggest five of those. So that was something that really worries me. The governor has promised to put out his preliminary budget next Tuesday, the 16th, if that's Tuesday.
Right, it is.
And then the state legislature is going to have to take it up. But they're not going to take it up until sometime in January. And if you read about the chaos up there, it's fair to say that it'll probably take them not a day to come up with an agreement. It's going to take a long time to do that. So in January, when I legally have to come up with a proposed budget that balances everything, and in November I just revised our budget but still said we had $1.3 billion, which is now probably bigger than that, I'm going to have to make an assumption. What do we assume the state's going to do? Do we take the governor's proposal? Or do we read the press and say, oh, they're likely to do this? I don't know. We have to find some balance, because we're going to have to assume what happens to us there. But then we do have the luxury of our budget isn't due until the end of June. The governor and the state has to, with an approval.
April 1, isn't it?
April, yeah, March 30 or April 1, I don't know which. And even if they were a month late, it's a long time from the big April, May, and June. You've got 3 months, I'm sure. You can't gamble. California went for a long time without a budget. But they're likely to solve, or have a solution of taxes and cuts, and then we'll know where we stand. What we do with it then is going to be very painful.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg right here on the John Gambling Show on a Friday, 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. If you would, before we go to the break on the half hour.
Next Wednesday, the 17th at 8 p.m.
8 p.m.?
Yes.
I'll probably be home.
Well, you could
maybe,
be
watching. Maybe in bed.
You could be watch a Muppets Christmas, Letters to Santa. And you'd be shocked at who the star on the show is.
And who might that be? Who's going to play Santa Claus?
I can't tell you, but Miss Piggy, Miss Piggy, and Kermit, and a very handsome mayor are part of the opening scene in that show.
Have
it's
you,
a very
have you
important
shot the show yet? Or
I can't divulge
you can't
anything.
Can't divulge any of that.
I can't divulge anything.
The Muppets are wonderful people to act with. In
yeah, Miss Piggy is a little bit porky these days, but you know.
The Attorney General, the Governor, the Mayor of New York, yourself have all pointed to the fact that the state of New York has, over the past 15, 20 years, come to rely on the financial industry for a majority of its revenues. We see the problem with that, with the weighing in the wrong direction. How do you see changing that as we go forward?
Well, we've worked very hard to promote other things. Like we talked about all the television and movies that are being filmed here, bioscience, tourism, all of those things. That's the good news. I suppose it's good news that the financial industry up to 6 months ago was making so much money that no matter how much we diversified, you couldn't keep up. They were growing even faster. Unfortunately, when you have something that's doing so well, you don't want to kill it. You don't want to turn it off. But when it stops, it is more painful than if it wasn't. Would you rather not have had the good times to avoid the downturn?
And it's human nature not to turn, as you say, the good thing
away. I mean, nobody's going to say, hey, come on, stock market, go down. It was helping your 401k. It was helping your pension fund. It was letting companies expand and create jobs and bringing in tax revenue to pay our employees more and provide more services. Everybody was happy with it. And, you know, I kept saying it can't keep going up forever, but I didn't know any more than anybody else when it was going to stop. We fortunately did save some things. But now you have some of these things that over the years we've been living with, and people want to rectify them overnight, and it's very painful. For example, the express buses. We have to hold the fares on the express buses. The MTA, let me step back. MTA has enormous deficit, $1 billion+, maybe even bigger, who knows. And they have $0 for capital. Zero. This is an enormous agency, needs technology, needs new equipment, and they don't have any money. Now, forget about the fact that there has been in the past proposed a plan that would have gotten $384 million from the federal government and to some extent fixed the problem. At least it would have fixed the capital side, if not the operating side. They, right now, city, which has 4 votes out of 16 or something like that on the MTA board, we have to go and find a ways to work with the MTA, with the state, and Dick Ravitch has come up with some ideas, and I've talked to Speaker of the Assembly, Shelley Silver, understands we have a problem here, and try to go forward, not look back, but look forward, find a ways to fix this. Now, the MTA legally has to pass a budget this December, and Albany's probably not going to address this issue till well after the first of the year, so there will be a budget passed that will include fare increases that are not good because people, you don't want to dissuade people from taking mass transit, and it really does raise the cost, although still cheaper than mass transit systems elsewhere. But nevertheless, it's a healthy increase and cutting some service. In all fairness, the MTA, some of it's redundant, but service cutbacks, you'd rather expand services in mass transit and keep people from driving. But one of the things is the express buses, which are these buses that take you from Bay Ridge in Brooklyn or way out in Queens or on Staten Island, the fare, if you raise that fare, that's going to be a real big problem because those people will drive. That will create real chaos on our roads, and they just don't have any alternatives. So we should probably do that. But it's those kinds of things, those kinds of trade-offs, it's not easy. If we had fixed the MTA budget a long time ago and invested in technology a long time ago, we would be able to do those functions with less people, and it'd be more efficient. But nobody wants to do that in the good times because they'll just pay everybody a little more, and I don't want to face it now. And, you know, God will provide once again. Well, unfortunately, the day of reckoning has come.
Speaking of providing, I need to take another break. We went a little long in the first segment, so we've got to take a break right here. We'll come right back. There's lots more with Michael Bloomberg, Mayor of New York. On the phones open, 800-321-0710, if you want to get in line with a question for the mayor before we finish up. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on the John Gambling Show. The MTA deal. Ravitch, one of the things that is included in that is, of course, this mobility tax, call it whatever you will, and as presented by Dick Ravitch, it would apply to all business entities and nonprofits, including the city. would pay that mobility tax?
Well, number one, it's not...
That seems counterproductive.
It's Dick's committee's recommendations.
Correct.
A committee that was formed by the governor, and Ravitz, who we owe a debt of gratitude, is willing to do the work and take the grief, which is not easy to do. So whatever the legislature and the governor together eventually come up with may very well be different. The mobility tax is another word for a payroll tax. And the advantage of that over a congestion tax is that the old congestion tax we could only apply to people living in New York State, that come into the city, whereas a payroll tax, you're applying it to businesses in the city, but that would get people who live in Connecticut and New Jersey to pay a fair share, as well as people that come in from other counties to New York City. It is a terrible idea. Except that it's probably better than any other idea.
Better than tolling bridges and things of that nature.
Well, you know, tolling bridges isn't... It's another creative suggestion from Dick Ravitz, and the legislature's going to have... I don't think you can solve this problem with just one solution. And, you know, the advantage of tolling the bridges is it gets more people to go to mass transit, which will get you more revenue there, reduces traffic and pollution, so some environmental advantages there. But all of these, keep in mind, are just proposals. And as I said when I was asked about them, I said, look, number one, thanks to the governor, did the right thing by facing the issue and setting up the commission. Ravitz, we owe, as I said, a debt of gratitude to. And we came up with a plan. It wasn't the only plan. It was called some kind of pricing, whatever it was. And the legislature said they had better ideas. And okay, that's what democracy is all about. What are they? And they'll have to come up with them. But the deficit is not going to go away. We have to pay the people that run the buses and subways. And this last week, I went to Wake for a bus driver who was killed. Very tragic. And there was yesterday was a robbery too. And you know, generally they don't have very many, but you know, if you take a look at my experience with the MTA, is I virtually never take a bus. I take the subways every day. Took the subway downtown this morning, and they work, but they need constant infusion of new equipment and better safety stuff. And if we want to reduce costs, more automation, all of those things, and that costs money. So, you know, if you want it, somebody's got to pay for it. And if you don't like the suggestions of what the other guy wants to do, come up with yours. Just complaining doesn't get anything fixed. And there are deadlines on some of these things. We have to pass a budget before the end of December for the MTA. If the state does nothing, that budget goes into effect. Probably not the best solution, but it's the only one the MTA board can do on their own. They can only adjust services and tolls. The state can give you other revenue sources through taxes or tolls on bridges.
Speaking of things that are expensive, I'm reading that our baseball stadiums are getting more and more expensive, and they've looked for some more money or the right loan bonds or let bonds.
The issue here is the federal government has a plan where and the city has an agency that helps decide who gets it. There are tax-exempt bonds. They typically are free of state, city, and federal taxes. And since they are, you can sell the bonds at a lower rate. So something like the Yankees or the Mets organization would like to use these bonds because the interest cost to them would be lower. So that's why they want to do it. Why does the federal government have the program? It stimulates construction jobs and economic activity. They might not do these things, build stadiums or, in this case, some infrastructure around it, if it costs them more. The economics might not work. So everybody says, look, we'll get less income from taxing the interest that the bondholders would pay, but in return, there's more construction, more jobs, and that's good for society. It's not city money other than we would forgo the taxes on the little bit of revenue. So if you do the calculation, it's a very small amount of revenue on the interest on those bonds. So would the state, so would the federal government. But our development bank is set up to do this, and you do it for big projects, and the federal government's approved these projects, and we'll go along with them.
You've been very outspoken about the Indian reservations being able to sell cigarettes with no tax receipts. I understand that there is finally a bill on the governor's desk that would change that situation?
Well, the law is clear. The state legislature sends bills to governors in the state all the time, ordering the governor to collect the revenue. Silence you can hear.
Exactly.
That's it. That's where it ends.
But the governor doesn't seem to be, or is reluctant, let's put it that way, or seemingly reluctant.
I don't know that they're reluctant at all. I just know they've never done it. And I mean, the arguments,
well,
if you ask why, they go all the way from, well, one year the Indians burnt some tires in the middle of one of the
roads.
And, you know, you do that in New York City, the NYPD and the fire department will both arrive and will end that very quickly. There is the argument that they could make claims to half of Manhattan that, you know, the Dutch stole Manhattan from the Indians for $24 and they should have paid them $30, and the extra $6 at the interest rates that prevail are $10 trillion, and we don't want to open that. But the bottom line is the state should collect the taxes. It is money we need, number one. Number two, letting any group have a special deal is just not what democracy is all about. It breeds contempt for our laws. And number three, these cigarettes are killing people. I mean, you know, everybody says, oh, there he goes again on cigarettes. Life expectancy in New York City is up. Cancer for the first time in this country is going down. And it's because in almost every big city in this country now, they've banned smoking in public places. Not
worldwide,
all.
Worldwide, though, cancer, as you just read this week.
Right, but Western Europe, they've banned it. The countries there have had the courage to do it. Our country has not. Mexico City, the air is, I don't know if it still is, but I remember going there years ago in the air, because the geography, it's sort of in a valley, and the pollution was terrible, and they have a lot of cars. People's lungs, cutting smoking will in public places will help.
This morning, Joe Bartlett did a feature at 7:30 this morning on the vendors around the World Trade Center site down here where we actually broadcast from, right?
I was
near,
still on the subway, so I didn't hear. Usually I leave about quarter to seven, but this time it was a little bit later.
These are vendors that sell pictures of the World Trade Center for $15 a copy. They aren't licensed, and I was just curious why, if they're not licensed, why they're allowed. The question we were asking is why they're allowed to do it.
I don't know that they're not licensed, the vendors. There's a couple of different issues here. One is the appropriateness of what they're selling and who gets the revenue. The World Trade Center Memorial probably should be looking, and I think they are, creating respectful commemorative items which victims could buy and the proceedings going to support the museum. That would solve one part of the problem. There are a lot of legal issues. You can't stop people from selling as First Amendment issues. There are a number of things that we have vending licenses. We to disabled vets. That's gone on for a long time. Some people say they just sell it to others and they don't actually do it. But that's a whole another can of worms that it's maybe we should address at some point in time. What is true, incidentally, is down here we're making a lot of progress. If you go and take a look, I was at 7 World Trade Center to congratulate West LB, which took 3 floors of 7 World Trade Center, which is now almost all full. Looking down on the site, Silverstein has started construction on one of the 3 office towers he's building away from this. The Freedom Tower is now above ground. Those pictures. Some paper today of what they call the survivor stairway has been moved. The ramp that used to bring people to Bedrock is going to be dismantled to clear the way. It starts, I think, on Saturday. If that was one of the signature things, you'd walk down the ramp. Well, now we're building right on that site. That's where the memorial is going to be. So progress really is made, and we've got to keep the momentum going to make sure that the memorial is done, or at least reasonably done by the 10th anniversary.
Is the takedown, the demo of Deutsche Bank building held up in courts or something?
No, painfully slow, but being done.
It's hard. I walk by it every day.
I understand that. What we used to do is you would abate all of the pollutants on the floor, asbestos and everything else, and then rip that floor off. Then you do the next floor and next floor. After the terrible tragedy where 2 firefighters were killed, they decided to go and abate the whole building where you can't see from the outside, and then it will come down. It will come down very quickly once that's done, and it's getting there. I don't know. It's probably another 6 months or something. I mean, it seems like it's taking forever, and it is, and there's a variety of reasons for that, and too many levels of bureaucracy and this and that, but people are they're so careful now because of everything that happened.
You can't believe the number of safety people around.
That's when you have an accident, you add levels of security and safety, and there's a cost to that. Everybody says, I want more security, more safety. Yeah, okay, you want to pay for it? Oh, I don't want to run any risks. Okay, here's your tax bill. Oh, I don't want to pay the taxes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it earlier that you have instigated, and then we're going to get to the phones, take a break and get to the phones, about the financial information that the city will be providing or offering to people that have mortgage issues. And
yeah, I did an event yesterday. It's really
Center for the New York Neighborhoods, I believe.
That is one of the organizations that's providing
it. And where's the money coming from? Are these city dollars?
I think we have $2.3 million. Might have been raised privately.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it's a little bit of city money, but
I mean, it's a great investment,
and it's very tiny given our budget, $60-odd billion. But you know, we can't bail you out of your mortgage if you get in trouble. What we can do is give you some advice on how you can work it out with a bank, what your rights are, making sure you don't fall victim to a scam, which a lot of people do, and they're not terribly financially sophisticated. And in tough times, they're desperate. Same thing if you lose a job. There's a variety of services that the city provides. They tend to cost next to nothing. And so, you know, when people say, oh, let's balance the budget by cutting those meaningless services, it would cost you more to cut them than to have them. And what's more, the value per dollar is phenomenal to the city. So those are the kinds of things you want to do because they don't use a lot of money.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let's open up the phones here when we come back. 800-321-0710. If you've got a question.
We're talking about the Public Service Commission. I know you were.
No, what's with the Public Service Commission?
It's a state body that oversees the state's gas and electric utilities and controls statewide funds for energy efficiency. And we are working with them, although I want everybody to work a little bit harder to get our goal of reducing emissions, because this is the air that everybody breathes, and that's going to cost us more money, but if we can get this state body working better with our city body, we can achieve our goals. And the goals, the governor talks about energy efficiency, so do we. Let's do it.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let's go to the phone here. We're going to start with Dennis from New Jersey. Dennis, you've got the mayor's ear. Go.
Hi, Mr. Mayor and John. Mayor Bloomberg, I think you've done a great job in New York, and with the new incoming Obama administration, I was kind of hoping you would become a part of it, and I was wondering whether President-elect offers to you regarding joining his cabinet, either formally or in some sort of advisory capacity.
He has not, but if he did, I would be happy to give him some. I'd answer the phone, but I'd give him some advice on others. I've always thought that the best job for me is the one I have. Hopefully, the voters will see it that. Will like what they see, although it's going to be tough times between now and then next November. But in any case, I committed to the voters that I would finish out any term they elected me to. I've got 384 days more, and when I say I'm going to do something, I try to do it. So far, I think Obama's incidentally picked some great people. Now, they got to perform, but if you ask me, Larry Summer and Tim Geithner on the financial side, I was at dinner with Tim the other night. These are quality people who understand the issues. They've got to make the right decisions, and nobody knows what those are, but hopefully they will. He's appointed some lots of other people, and I think he's going to have some more announcements this weekend. I just want to make sure he gets the best people, and that's what this country needs.
Dennis, thank you very much. Let's go to Neil out in Staten Island. Neil, you've got the mayor. Get right to the question, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I was wondering, why doesn't the city work harder to get rid of tenure for teachers so it'll be easier to replace bad teachers?
Wait a second, Neil. You picked the wrong guy to pick on in this one. I got to tell you what happened. In the last, it was about June, must have been in March, thereabouts, the state legislature, in the middle of the night, you can't make this up, literally added in a budget bill. Why it belongs in a budget bill, I don't know. But they put it into a budget bill without any hearings, taking away the city's right to even look at test scores to see whether teachers can teach before granting tenure. We negotiated with the teachers' union so that they don't get tenure automatically. We have a process, a fair process, after 2 years. They put this in. Both the Republican Senate and the Democratic Assembly put it in, and the governor signed it in the middle of the night with no hearings, no nothing. Tenure, you can make the case. Tenure at a college level is civil liberties, the speech issue, let teachers and let professors write stuff and not get fired over it. Maybe you can make the case for that. It's a lot harder to make the case for tenure at the public school level because they're not writing stuff. They're teaching. It's a different level. And they have civil service protection already. And so you can make the case they don't need more. But the argument that we can't look at whether or not they can teach as measured by real numbers. And some of the legislators stood up and said, oh, you'll know, you'll know. And what do you mean you'll know? That leads to nothing but abuse. The argument for having a real, concrete, quantitative measure is what would keep it all fair and open. So, you know, I don't have a problem with teacher, but that was the tenure. I think it's needed, but that was the worst.
All right, Neil, thanks for the good question here. One more real fast. Phil, you got to get right to the question.
Yeah, Mayor, two things. One is our property values are down. Why aren't our property taxes going down? And listen, 1/10 of 1% on all shares traded through New York City raises $1.25 billion.
Yeah, the trouble with that is in this day and age, the vast preponderance of the business, Phil, is on a computer, and they just instantly throw a switch and it's done in London or in Cleveland or somebody else. So those taxes, you can't tax something where people just instantly move it away. In terms of property values, you're seeing the downside of what we had and what we have. You like the good side. We have laws that say property tax can only go up a certain amount every year and a different amount every 5 years. So property taxes have not caught up to the increase in values, and even though values are coming down, generally speaking, property taxes, if you don't change the rate, you just depending on assessments, should continue up for a little while longer, and then they would start to come down. It's probably a year or two before you catch up, but you're benefiting from the fact that it didn't go up as fast before because of the law.
And of course, we don't know what the future will bring. And
but
so,
other than we're going to be together next Friday?
You have that exactly right,
see?
My friend. Thank
I
you
can
very
tell
much.
The future.
Absolutely. Have yourself a great week ahead. I will see you next Friday. That's going to do it for me and everybody here on the John Gambling Show for this week. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. We'll catch up with you on Monday.